Expressed in our talk shows are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or ownership of WGCH Radio.
And welcome to Defiant Hustle Radio. Thanks for being with us tonight here in the studio. This is Noreen Ehrlich, and it's lovely to have you here. And once again, I have a fantastic guest for you, And I'm not going to waste too much time introducing her. Today in the studio with me, I have the woman who is running for First Selectman of Greenwich, Connecticut, Jill Oberlander. So welcome, Jill.
Thank you, Noreen. I really appreciate the invitation. I'm so happy to be here to talk to your listeners, to talk to you about the issues facing Greenwich and a little bit about me as well.
Good, good, good. So I was thinking, before I was coming in today to the into the studio, I was thinking about what a fantastic time it is at this point to you really get two choices right now, because the world seems to be going a little nuts, especially in the political atmosphere.
Yes.
And maybe a little bit, or I don't know what the story exactly in Greenwich, but definitely on the world stage. And I think people are really being called to really consider their values, and also to, I feel really lucky, you, me, that we're being called to step it up. Would you agree with that?
I would. I would agree with it. And I think what's been really terrific about this time, regardless of how we got here, is the incredible level of engagement that you see among younger people these days, and the emphasis on civics and learning and following government and being engaged in your community. So it's not just for all of us who are mid-career or even end of career. It's also for the younger generation. They're leading a lot of the changes as well, which I'm really optimistic about our future as a result.
You have three children.
I do have three children. They're maybe not the most politically active, perhaps in reaction to their mother being so engaged, but just watching the rest of the younger generation, the college students, the recent graduates, even some of the high school students around the country who have implemented either gun violence prevention walkouts or environmental, their environmental agenda. We have a lot of things going on in town as well on that front, and it is really energizing.
Yeah,
to see the level of engagement.
For somebody, sometimes I think if like an alien came down from another planet, they would be like, "So you're shooting each other?" You know, it's like,
right.
Or you're attacking each other.
Right.
And so I think maybe young people are calling us out, even though we're the adults in the room, that they can see what's potentially ahead for them, and it's not a political issue, it's just something about what their future might hold,
right,
if things continue the way they are. And not everything's bad, this is not, but they're seeing the environment, and they're seeing gun violence, and they're having to prepare in their schools, and they must think this is insane, and we've got to jump in there and speak now.
Yeah, I think I can't imagine that they think about it as a political, in the political framework that we think about. How do we enact legislation that will lead to a better future? They're just thinking, as you said, about their present and about their future and whether this is what they want.
Right, as a human issue,
right,
and as a nation and
right,
as an international,
right,
they get the benefit also of seeing people on the social media platforms that are in other countries and connecting with them. We didn't have that growing up. So it was always, often put to us that there was an enemy, unseen enemy in another place that we had to protect ourselves from.
Right.
And but it's good. They get the benefit, despite what might be happening around social media, media platforms, they get the benefit of at least connecting with people on a human level.
Yes.
And seeing that the other person is not, you know, guide to whatever they're thinking.
Or just like them in
just
some
like
ways,
them.
Right?
Yeah.
You can find, let's look for the positive. There are obviously lots of negatives as well, but on social media, but looking for the positive, they can find lots of people like them in different ways, right? And show differences.
So I want to, so go young people, but I want to, I wanted to, so you're a chair on the BET right now.
The Board of Estimate and Taxation, the Town Finance Board in Greenwich, Connecticut.
And how long have you been there?
I have been on the BET for almost 4 years, finishing my second term of 2 years. And I've been the BET chair since January 2018. So for this term, I'm the first Democrat to be BET chair in Greenwich's history, actually.
Really?
Yes.
Oh,
and the second, and the second woman.
And then, so prior to that, so you moved to Greenwich in 2006 with your husband.
With my husband and our three kids. They were 4, 2, and almost 1 at the time. And my husband has a business in Old Greenwich that prompted our move here, actually. We loved the community. He loved having his office here. Great schools.
That
beautiful.
Where you live in Old Greenwich?
No, we live in the Belhaven section of Greenwich. Beautiful shoreline, open space. Didn't realize what we would get when we moved here was an incredible community as well. And I immediately got involved in local government. I had been working in municipal government for my career. I graduated from Cornell with a degree in government, focusing on international affairs. Was accepted into a fellowship in New York City government called Urban Fellows, where I started to learn about municipal government. I worked at the Parks Department and then in the Mayor's Transportation Office, working on environmental issues. And I fell in love with municipal government there.
It
sounds strange, right? You don't really think about it, but it's so interesting. There's so many opportunities, and you really can make, as with any kind of government, I know we were talking a little bit before about what prompted me to really engage. Government remains for me the best way to make a positive difference in people's lives. Whether you're working on transportation issues or social service issues or even financing issues, the ability to really to work on policy that will impact people and make their lives better. And it's so interesting. There are so many opportunities. So that was my love. I worked in state government after law. I went to the University of Chicago Law School. I was a real estate and corporate lawyer in a couple of law firms. And then I worked at the Metropolitan Transportation Authority in the law department on real estate corporate issues back in a law firm. And then for the Alliance for Downtown New York, which is the Business Improvement District in Lower Manhattan. And I started there right after 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
And to see the transformation, to see the devastation, and the transformation of Lower Manhattan, and how critical it was for that whole community to heal, but also for the city, for vibrancy, really, really impactful. And and when I moved out here, I got involved in local government. It was a natural way for me to find a community of people that shared similar interests. I joined our town council, the RTM. That was the first time I really stood for office. A friend said to me, "You have to stand at the polls." You have to stand at the polls and introduce yourself to voters. And so I did. And you really get to know Greenwich through the local government and through all of the people from across town that engage. It is one of the most special things about this town, how many people in our community dedicate so much time to make our town better.
It is a really special town, and we were talking before the show because I see Greenwich. Well, I was living in California and in Midtown Atlanta prior to coming back to the Northeast where I grew up, and I could have really chosen any town, right? I'm coming back from California, and I looked around, and I had lived in Stamford for a bit. I lived in Summit, New Jersey. I grew up on Long Island. I also, for a brief period of time, I always worked in New York City, but lived in New York. But anyway, I was trying to choose a place that I would never, where I could find a sense of community, because I desperately, desperately needed one after so much travel. And I wanted a place that was sophisticated, that I would never have to leave.
Right.
And this town has not only extraordinarily accomplished people, but it has really everything going for it.
It does.
But maybe there's a few more things I wanted to ask you. So you're chairing on the BET, and now the position of first selectman becomes open, right?
Right.
Now, your life is going on. You're a mother. You're working. Your husband's working. What? Why don't you just take it easy? Or what came over you?
Yeah.
So go and do this now.
Yes. Well, opportunity comes when opportunity comes. When Peter Tesi decided not to run, it was an open seat. I originally said, okay, that's great. I'm not going to run. I'm going to focus on my family. I have a junior in high school, 17-year-old, a freshman in high school, 15, and then a 13-year-old, an eighth grader. And I thought, you know what? I could take a step back and spend a little bit more time focusing on our home life a little bit. But then there was an incredible outreach to me asking me to run. Being in the BET chair position with so much knowledge about municipal government and our government in particular really put me in a place where I felt that I was the best candidate to win for the Democrats. This time around, the Democrats haven't held the first selectman seat in, I think, 16 years. It's largely been controlled by the other party. There were things going on in town that I thought, oh, you know, I can do a good job on this, and I want to address some of our solutions. So the combination of knowing that the job I would do a great job for our community and the outreach. And the tipping point was seeing someone who knew my father. Uh-huh. I got my work ethic from my father. He was an OBGYN in the Bronx, and he pretty much delivered half of the babies in the Bronx while he was working, worked all the time. And it was hard as his child, but an incredible sense of pride in how many lives he influenced and improved for the better. And I saw a colleague, a former colleague of his. He's deceased, so former that way. And I was telling her about what I was doing, and she said, why aren't you running for first selectman? And I said, well, it's maybe not the best time. You know, my son's a junior. And she said, so? As if this wasn't a struggle that everyone deals with, how do you balance opportunity to do good,
right,
to take on a challenging job, and family. And I went home that night and I said, she's 100% right. If you walk away from opportunity when it's there, it doesn't necessarily come back to you. And I made the decision to jump in and run. So,
okay, so you're a woman, you're a Democrat at a time when Democrats and women are gaining traction,
yes,
in the political atmosphere.
Yes. Yes.
And were you inspired by that? Did you feel like there was something that needed to be improved or corrected, or what was driving you? Because it's one thing to have a friend call you, but
yes,
you
no,
have to be really driven right now in order to take on some of the atmosphere, just in general in the political environment, even if it's not here at home.
Yes.
And I'm sure some of it
yes,
is.
It's, but the political environment is tough, without a doubt. I believe in government. In good government. I was always a government person, a policy person, not a political person. So I see that as the opportunity to use. So I knew I could do the job well for our town, mm-hmm, and that I could bring my experience and my vision and would make a difference. And it's validated for me when I'm out on the campaign trail to see how many people actually agree similarly with what our platform is, and with the need for change. I see Greenwich as at an inflection point. We're a complicated town. We have a diverse resident base. We have diverse needs. We have a $450 million budget. That's a significant budget. I mean, someone was telling me that the budget for South Bend, Indiana, Buttigieg town is...
Yeah.
Is like three quarters of that, and much less than that. When you think about it, you think about the impact of Greenwich as a community, it's complicated. I wanted to be able to use my experience to help our town. And I see it more, yes, I'm a Democrat, and yes, I'm a woman, But that's not the reason I'm running. That the reason I'm running is because I know I have the knowledge, the skills, and the experience to do a great job for our community. And I wanted to address the issues that I saw by my time in government that weren't moving along fast enough for me. So
okay, so I wanted to, you talked about having a vision, my
yes.
vision, and you said you met a lot
right.
of people in town that
yes.
Agreed with your vision. So what is your vision?
Yeah, Greenwich should be best in class. Right? We all moved to Greenwich. Greenwich has a great name, and whether you grew up here, whether you moved here, the sense of Greenwich, as you said, as a great community to live in, that we have, I want the reasons that I moved here to stay true for the next generation, and I also want to be able to offer a community where we can all age in place, because we know that when you age in your own community with your friends and connections around you, you're healthier and happier and live a better life. So when I teamed up with Sandy Litvak, our current selectman, to run as a team, we sat down and we looked at what are the issues that we think drive our motivation. And they were threefold, and we named them the three E's, the economy, mm-hmm. education, and the environment. And they overlap, but they do encompass most people's experience in our community and what they are concerned about. So on the economy, people are really concerned about property values, and they're also concerned about taxes on both sides, that their property, which is their largest investment for most people, mm-hmm. their values stay high, that they haven't lost the benefit of their investment. And this, at the same token, they want their taxes to stay low because their budgets are predicated on knowing what their taxes will be. And nobody wants a surprise, right, on their tax base and on their tax rate, excuse me. So that's a major concern, that what are we doing to protect our property values and to how are we managing our government to keep our taxes low and reasonable? And I have that experience on the BET. So as BET chair, when the Democrats took control, we did have the lowest annual rate of increase in our mill rate over the prior 10 years of leadership. I'm very familiar with the budget. I do believe that we need to focus on some of our town issues to support our property values. We're going through a revaluation process now. The town assessor every 5 years has to reassess all of the properties, and that will be completed next October and certified in January, and then we'll see the changes in your taxes in July 2021. So people are worried. I want to be able to,
especially in the backcountry.
Backcountry, yes.
The prices, the price of homes is falling, right?
Well, we'll see where they end up. But yes, there are more homes on the market, and they're staying on the market longer. And some people have had to reduce their asking prices for homes, so they're concerned about their overall property values as well.
The commercial.
So one of our platform points is economic development in town.
Yes.
Not just business retention. Business retention is critical. We should be doing it, and we're not doing it. So if we're talking to businesses when they're ready to leave town, we need to talk to them all along.
Right.
We need to know what their pressure points are, even a radio station, right? We need to know what's happening that makes it difficult to stay in town as a business, and how can the town help, if at all? How do we address situations with parking and traffic, things that impact our retailers, people's experience? How do we keep our businesses here? And then we need to do a strategic economic development plan that will give us targets to help support our commercial base, our retail base, and then do a marketing plan to follow that. So that's one of the things we'll start working on day one.
Okay, so let me understand that. So when you say there is a reallocation of income that maybe used to come in from larger homes in the back country. That's
yes.
going down. We're trying to keep the revenue levels at the same place that we needed to cover
right.
the budget.
Right.
What did you say was $450 million?
Our budget.
So we do have
an
ample budget.
We still do. We have an ample budget, yes. So the way it works with the budget is you put together your the town's expenses. That mm-hmm. includes the Board of Education expenses and other expenses for different boards and commissions. They all get put together in the town budget, which gets presented to the Board of Estimate and Taxation. Mm-hmm. The BET goes through the budget with the various departments and makes decisions about what to fund and what not to fund. And when the BET acts, it has a public hearing, it takes public comment, and we always encourage the public to come out and tell us what they think. It helps inform us and our decision making. Then it goes to our town council, the RTM, and they have the opportunity to evaluate the budget. They can't add anything. They can only subtract. And once the RTM acts on the budget, and they'll have knowledge about revenues and projections. The BET gets the approved budget again, and we start to look at what our revenues really are and how much our fund balance is, how much we've reserved for a rainy day fund, and whether within our targets. And we set a mill rate. We set the tax rate based on what we know we have coming in,
right.
What we expect to have coming in, where our reserves levels are, and whether we have any anticipated expenses that we don't know the exact dollar amount, and what's been approved for expenditures by the town council. And we set the mill rate that way. So we want to it's a big pot of things that come in. It's not a simple exercise, and it has to all balance out. But if our property values in the aggregate decline and we don't similarly reduce our budget, people's taxes will go up.
Or find some other way.
Or additional revenues. Right,
because it's being reallocated if it's not coming from certain places.
Right.
So you were talking, let's see, I want to make sure we leave time for a lot of issues here, but you were talking, so my office is at the top of Greenwich Avenue. And I drive down Greenwich Avenue, my home's in downtown, and you see the stores going in and out of business.
Yes.
What do you think is driving companies back out of business or not attracting the right types of businesses? What do you think it is?
I think it's a combination of factors, and it depends on the business and the property. So I don't also think that we haven't been doing economic development as a town. We've been doing some marketing. An outside interest group has been doing some marketing, the Think Greenwich campaign, but not real business development, economic development as a town. We don't have a plan to do that. So that would help, okay, if we had somebody in town hall to navigate both the town protocols for new businesses, help them set up shop, but also to have someone that will be focused primarily on economic development as well, so that we can identify businesses that are synergistic to what we have here, whether it be another animation studio. We have one animation studio owned by Disney. Maybe we could have another one, whether it be technology companies that support either our financial firms or our healthcare market. We have a burgeoning healthcare market in town as well. And what are the industries that build up around the healthcare market? Can we attract those as well? Can we develop a sports-related business here? Stanford has sports businesses there, maybe, and we have professional athletes that live here. Maybe we could be focusing on things like that as well. So part of it is economic development. Part of it is the rents. Part of it is retail, changing the way people shop. Some of it's traffic and parking. Each business has a different pressure point
as well.
It's
a little complicated, but
so we want to address it all, right? We want to make sure we're building towards a better future, a more vibrant downtown, not just here, but a vibrancy around town. One of the things we've heard from businesses is that it's hard to attract and retain talent because we don't have the vitality of other communities. So we want to make sure we're doing things. The experience.
That means youth?
They're younger workers, without a doubt, but I think all of us would like some vitality in our community to be able to go to a great restaurant. We've talked about different ideas on whether we can create a pedestrian promenade on a spring or summer nights. On a Friday night, let's say, we could close a portion of Greenwich Avenue to traffic and have a pedestrian mall, and restaurants can come out on the street.
I was in Atlanta a few weeks ago in Alpharetta, and I was at a conference, but there was retail, but there was music, and there were people out in the streets, and there was a sense of it was a destination that you could flow, and the people were eating out on the streets in the center, and there was a real youthfulness. I really, with my background in real estate, investment funds, but real estate, I do look around and say, what's not happening here? Yeah. It does seem there was the same franchises in many cases as we have here in town, but I want to say there was something more intimate about the community. Even in Phoenix last week when I was out there, there was something more youthful and right. cool and edgy and maybe that we don't want to go completely that way.
Right.
But
have a dialogue about placemaking designations, which is a way to identify a sense of space and community that people can then identify with. And you can do it through using what we have naturally or helping communities decide what it is that they want to emphasize. So I've been talking about the cultural corridor that we have on Greenwich Avenue from the Greenwich Library at the top with the Flynn Gallery down to the New Bruce at the bottom mm-hmm. with the Greenwich Performing Arts Center in the middle. We have a lot of art galleries around. We have really a cultural corridor here
really?
That we can develop. You can figure out outdoor sculpture. You can extend it down to the waterfront as well and figure out how do you market that? How do you make it a sense of a place? Some communities do it. I had a conversation this morning at the train station a gentleman was commenting on the change in street signs. Mm-hmm. I guess there had been a specific type of street sign that gave a greater sense of a place to Greenwich as opposed to the green and white ones. And I can tell you in Lower Manhattan, wayfinding, which means signage mm-hmm. design, uh-huh. makes a real difference to the way you experience even street furniture, design, signs, light fixtures. It really can change the way you experience your community and things to talk about on how to create that vitality.
Okay, I know that there's things. I'll have to send you a link to this. Not that you don't know this, but there's some towns that have actually a very clear way to go about this, mm-hmm. and that they market it. How to really reinvigorate your downtown, but I know it was including Seattle and Portland and places like this that they really. Or marketing something that says, here's how you just like everything else out there now has become, here's how you do it, and it's very simple. But anyway, there's something I'm going to show you. It's really cool.
Terrific. Thank you.
Okay, so let's go on to, you were talking about an environment, energy, environment.
Yeah.
We have a coastline here.
Yes.
I know that I was reading. I don't fully understand it, but somebody did tell me to ask you about the state and the harbor here, the federal harbor.
Right.
And we're not getting along with the state. I didn't fully understand it. I did understand it had to do with dredging.
Yeah. There have been a lot of questions about the harbor and dredging. So the environment is one of my E's, and the other one is education. So economy, education, and environment. And I'll start with environment since that's what you asked about. I think that Greenwich should be a leader on environmental issues. We have been relying on our grassroots groups. We've done some things, and we rely on our grassroots groups to lead us, do a lot, and we need to do more as a town. We need to be changing our town facilities over to buildings that are smart buildings with energy conservation to the extent that we can retrofit built in, using solar or other forms, green roofs, try to figure out how do we move forward environmentally and save money at the same time.
Uh-huh.
At the same time, we should be, when we build new buildings, they should be environmentally forward. We should not be building buildings of the past. We should always be thinking of the future. How do we ask for information that will allow us to make those decisions? We need to include that in our request for proposals when we're bidding out projects. And there needs to be a component to make sure we're building the most green building. We can adopt lots of programs that will help our environmental footprint. The youth are already doing it, right? They're clamoring for more environmental programs that will show us to be a leader. We need to protect our natural resources. Say, I'm not during campaign season, but I'm a triathlete. So, clean water, bicycle access, mm-hmm. and open space for running. Those are all things that I think people come to our community, and that's what they expect. That's what our future should hold. We need to protect our natural resources. We need to make it easier for all of us to be active outdoors, interacting with our community in a safe way, whether you're a walker, young or old, a cyclist, biking to school. Start to develop these patterns that allow us to appreciate our natural resources, what we have here, because we do have so much on the environment. On the harbors and dredging, that's a little inside baseball, in truth. It's different people have different priorities. We are a waterfront community. We both need to protect our coastline. Mm-hmm. Okay, we know that there's climate change coming. We need to plan for that and make sure that we're making smart decisions ahead of the game, not too late, not behind the curve. We want to be ahead of the curve on everything we do, and so that we're protecting our assets, whether they be town-owned or homeowners are prepared for the future to do smart planning. But we also want to make use of it recreationally, right? It is one of our great recreational assets, and to make sure that we're, again, making smart decisions so that people can take advantage of our coastline if they're boaters or otherwise. So.
I want to go on to education, but I want to stop for a second because what I think often happens, even when I'm coaching people, is they have a lot of great ideas about what they want, and you're supposed to set them all, right? You're supposed to really get out there and at least set the intentions. But if you're a first selectman here, you just have to explain something to me. How long is the term?
The term is 2 years.
Okay, so now you get in there.
Yes.
Jill, essentially, it takes time to change things.
Yes, it does.
And so essentially you are going to have to pick
priorities.
I think, overarching vision for the town to invigorate people to get behind something.
Yeah.
Because if you're spread too thin, you still should be setting all these intentions to take the town ahead.
Yeah.
But how does one really get people inspired to get unified and get behind something to make this town great? Yes.
That's a concern of mine as well, right? I want to be effective. The reason I'm doing this is to find solutions to our problems. And we started working on some of this on the BET. And we had a lot of accomplishments of places where we took over and funded studies and programs to start moving us forward so that we have solutions. So in each of my areas, my three E's, I sort of have a blueprint for action.
Mm-hmm.
So environment, which we were talking about, I want to adopt an environmental sustainability plan, a mission statement and plan, so that we'll have targeted steps, specific actions to take to reach our goal, and then a metric to judge how we're doing, essentially a scorecard. Keep us honest, mm-hmm. be transparent and accountable. We won't be able to accomplish everything. One of the things that my running mate Sandy has said repeatedly on the trail, it is too much to accomplish everything in 2 years. We want to get started, set the intention, give a blueprint for action, give us a basis for evaluating how successful we are, and then hold us accountable as we move forward. So the environmental sustainability plan would be one accomplishment that I would expect to be able to accomplish. I'd also like to start focusing on sidewalks and things that we can do in our current capital budget allocation. We're working on our roads. Is there a designation for bike lanes? We need to make our town accessible for the old and for the young. So in our centers, near our schools, to put that as a priority on accessibility and environmental issues. Walkability is so important. And that will lead to other things. It'll lead to greater sense of community when people feel safe about getting out and moving and interacting with their community. I probably have more on the environmental. I feel like there's a lot of things that we actually will be able to accomplish because there's momentum there with the grassroots groups, and I feel like a lot of this makes sense, and so I don't think there'll be that much objection to a lot of it on the environmental side. On the economic development side, we want to start with an economic development plan.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we would like to accomplish, and I'd like to do outreach whether it be done through the First Selectman's office, through a business office that we set up, through one of the Board of Selectmen members, to start doing outreach to existing businesses, to develop our knowledge base and our sense of connection. We need to be talking to businesses all the time, not when they're ready to leave, so that we have the baseline of dialogue as well. And on education, a couple of priorities. One is, and we didn't talk about it yet, but I believe that Greenwich needs to be best in class, and for the envy of Fairfield County, for all of our schools.
In terms of how the children are graduating with the
In terms of the education that we're providing to our children. So not all children will go to. Our students will go to the top schools. Mm-hmm. Some, of course, will. We have an extraordinarily high-performing population. But we need to meet every child and their needs. We need to provide an education base that will allow each child to find the happy, healthy place for them to thrive and feel supported in the school. So one of the places that I see where we're not focusing enough is on our public school facilities. We've underinvested over
in the actual physical structures.
Yes, the physical plant of our schools, and that is something I've been talking about for the last several months on the campaign trail. We need to have a real open, transparent dialogue about what we want our public school system as a community to look like. What are our priorities? How are we going to phase the work that we think needs to be done, and how are we going to pay for it? What's the cost impact going to be for our residents? And that's critical. That's critical for our future. It's the long game when it comes to our property values. It is so essential. And in that, my first priority will be developing a plan for cleaning up Western Middle School fields. We have fields closed at Western Middle School for three years for environmental contamination. No plan in place. And that is my top priority.
Good,
initially.
Because my friends specifically asked that I ask you about Western Middle School and the fact that it has nothing going on and it has been like that for a while.
For three years.
Yes,
that is unacceptable for any community, and particularly unacceptable for Greenwich. Lots of different rationales depending on who you talk to for why we're in this situation. I won't talk about why we're in this situation. I want to only talk about what's our solution going forward. How are we going to develop a plan? We may need two plans. We may need to put it to the voters to decide which plan we go forward with. I have had conversations with at least the director of Public Works on it, and if elected, that is number one priority on my list. So I don't want to – I do have lots of different ideas on all of this, but some of it will be in the budget documents that will get – the town is putting together their budget now. The Board of Education is putting together their budget as well. By the time someone gets elected and installed in office, we'll be all in onto the budget season for the town. So some of these issues will get worked out in the budget process, but those are my top priorities to work on.
Okay, so we can keep going, Bob?
If you'd like.
Okay. So when I talk to people about getting a new vision for themselves, because we tell ourselves the same story about what our town is about, and we often get into a habit of complaining about what we don't like, and I try and snap people out and say, well, what's the new story? And you have a new story. And the very next thought is something – I always say, okay, so you've got your new intention, and what's the next thought? The next thought is usually something that involves resistance, fear of change. So when you go out there and you talk about you want to go work on aspects of education, you want to work on aspects of the environment and the economy, how do you keep – or even get people more engaged? Because I feel like, okay, so there's meetings in the town hall.
Yes.
Not everybody's available to go to town hall, nor do they – and when I think about it, and I could be all wrong, but I see it as being contentious. So it almost makes me want to stay out of there. How can you educate people and keep them inspired about a long or short game – short-term vision?
Right. That's a good question.
Oh, thank you.
That's a good question. I think there is a lot of public engagement in this town, but maybe we need to have structured engagement. When someone's doing a project, they have a structured information plan, right? Mm-hmm. I was on the board of a nursing home for a long time, actually, and whenever we were doing construction in the home, you have a notification plan. Uh-huh. First you have your plans. You need to know what the impacts are. You have to move residents. You have to let their families know. There needs to be feedback. You need an opportunity for comment. You need to tweak it. So you need to do a little bit of advanced planning on how you're going to inform, market, and receive comments back. And I want to do a little bit more of that, do a little bit more public outreach, maybe have more public hearings, actually, where we invite the public in to comment, not just at budget time, mm-hmm. not just when we present the budget and when the BET hears the budget, but really maybe institutionalize the opportunity for the public to come in and talk about what they're experiencing so that it's not just one-on-one communication or when there's a problem. Do a little bit more outreach on the information side as well beforehand to have a continual...
To educate,
right?
Yeah,
whether it be through the neighborhood associations, through email, through the phone system. Have to figure out how do we spread the news so that people feel connected and invested. The only fear that I hear about our platform, everyone agrees, actually. The only thing they don't agree with is how are we going to pay for it and what is it going to do to our taxes. I think everyone even agrees it will help our property values down the road if we move Greenwich back to best in class, we implement this vision or any future direction. How are we going to pay for it? Mm-hmm. And that is the complicated conversation, to see exactly what things will cost, how we're going to phase it, and have that dialogue. Because if we don't – putting blinders on and pretending we don't have the issues doesn't solve our problems. I'm much more interested in figuring out, okay, can we structure it in a way that most people say this is worthwhile doing? They have enough – information, they have had the opportunity to comment on it, and so we build consensus in that way. The most expensive things are our schools, and I haven't heard anyone, with the exception of my opponent who said buildings don't teach, who've really said no, we shouldn't invest more in our schools.
Really?
No. Out on the campaign trail, people recognize that our school facilities are important.
Okay, so you get into office, right? So it's the election's next Tuesday.
Yes.
Next day, you're in office.
No, I'm not in office until December 1st, actually.
December 1st.
But the next day, if I get elected,
I'm going to go visit
the town hall. So if I'm elected...
When I'm elected,
I will start really informing and I have a great baseline knowledge, mm-hmm. but I'll reach out to Peter Tesi, our current first selectman, and start to work on transition, uh-huh. To bring myself up to speed on the other things that he's working on and some of the critical personnel hires that are currently vacant and where they stand on the budget negotiations, the budget discussions with departments. So the town administrator is currently working with town departments on their budget discussions. So to start to plan for some of my vision ideas in those budget discussions and how we can address some of those concerns so that we have a little bit of time to work with departments before we get sworn in, mm-hmm. in early December, to start having those discussions. And then to restart a lot of the work that has been, I think, waiting for the next first selectman to get in. So,
don't you think so much of it is just about, well, it's about communication, but really, we were talking about voice, we'll come full circle, people feeling heard?
Yes.
It is about taxes. People get afraid that you're going to take their... But at the end of the day, I think if people feel heard and then you can communicate back to them a sense of, well, A, how much power they have to start to do something on their own. I think people are have to learn that you can't project, you can't give all your power away to other people. Then
right.
What can you start to do?
Right.
Especially stop complaining, and maybe there's something you can start to do, coordinating with the political offices.
Right.
But it really is about getting out there and feeling that you're accessible, that people can that you'll listen, that people can talk to you,
right.
and that you'll set boundaries, like about, sorry, I'm going into coaching, but about what you can and can't do, at least in the short run.
Right.
So that, I don't know, how do you see yourself unifying people as you it switches over from a more Republican base?
Yeah, well, I'm hopeful. We operated pretty successfully, I think, on the BET until we got to election time. It is really important. I don't believe that issues have a party,
mm-hmm.
right? We're all working to improve our community and make the right decisions for the residents. So my vision is just a reflection of the issues that our community holds. If it turns out that our resident base, our community, doesn't want to pay for something, they'll make that decision. They get the chance to vote on the budget. I can make a recommendation based on talking to people and hearing their positions and understanding what I think is best for the direction for good governance and good policy, good future. But the residents get to decide. That's why voting actually is so important. So the RTM, which is very representative, has the final say on the budget, on how those our dollars get spent. So people should engage. They should find out about their RTM members and their Board of Ed and their BET and their First Electman candidates, all the candidates, because those people will make a decision on their tax dollars and what it gets spent on and what value base our community has, whether we support our education system or whether we cut it as well. So I think, yes, absolutely, everybody should feel heard and respected and valued regardless of – it's not about politics, right? We're going to disagree. People disagree. They'll have different priorities. We can all – have a conversation, even if you sit on opposite sides of the fence, and work to find the right solution for the community. That's the goal. So, and I think regardless of which board you're on, you know, whether you're on the Board of Education or the BET, one of the things that we started to do was try to work more collaboratively so that we can support the efforts of the Board of Education as opposed to just, commenting on the dollars spent. Right, we want to get to the place where our students succeed. That's the goal.
Even I feel like you were talking about it's a reflection of me being older, but youth. Even getting youth involved in this community would be a big, because I think they really do bring in ideas that are more courageous.
Right.
We have a little bit of time left.
Okay.
I wanted to. I was impressed with Sandy. So you're on your ticket is Sandy Litvak.
Yes. Yes.
And he's currently one of the selectmen.
Correct.
But he's got an incredible background, so I don't know if you want to describe it or you want to.
Well, Sandy has unparalleled experience, really, for this office. He is a lawyer. He has worked in and led several large law firms. He has worked as general counsel at the Disney Company and was there for 10 years, was a ultimately, the vice chair of the board of directors. I can't remember his exact title at Disney. Other than that, he had another really impressive title. His has been involved in various investment, economic development activities at Disney, and his judgment is extraordinary, actually. He's an incredible partner to have on the ticket with me and in government for all of us, actually. We're hoping to both be elected. We complement each other in our we have share similar values and a similar vision, but we complement each other in our skills. I'm very day-to-day on the intricacies of municipal government, want to reach the right management solution. I want to solve the problems on the management level. He's got a great perspective, a broader in scope, and has really great judgment on some of the difficult decisions that we face in government. Uh-huh. As a lot of the issues that we deal with are legal related. Actually, we're both lawyers, and having that dialogue about not just what's the legal answer, but what's the right answer, and you know, the morally right answer.
Wisdom. It sounds like he has wisdom.
He's just, I can't speak more highly of him. And that's one of the reasons why we decided to run together. We actually think we make a great team on our balancing of interests, and we both want to serve together.
And you're running against Fred Camillo.
Correct.
And Lauren Rabin.
Correct.
I've never met Lauren. I met her husband was on the show. He runs the Greenwich United
Way. Yes, he
does. Everybody knows Fred. Fred was on the show. He's also lovely, and a lot of people like Fred.
Yeah.
So why should people vote for you and Sandy?
Right. We're also quite likable, but this is about running our town. As I mentioned before, a $450 million budget, complicated issues, increasing amount of litigation, contracts, labor relations, HR. It's not just about saying this is my vision. It's about how do you see it through? How do you manage the town to provide the basic services that our residents want and need? And Sandy and I come with extensive municipal and legal experience. We just have the experience that's relevant to this for me, for selectman job, and for Sandy, for the Board of Selectmen. So that's really what we bring to the table is our years of I have over two decades of law and municipal experience, including 10 years in Greenwich, and he has decades of legal experience and several years now in Greenwich government as well. We have the knowledge base, the expertise, and the experience to really be able to start day one. Mm-hmm. And move our town forward.
So you know what's really going on in all the nuances of everything that's going on within the town.
I'd like to say I know everything going on, but I'm hoping to to learn everything that's going on when I'm elected. But I do know a lot about what's going on. So, and there are lots of, yes.
Well, the intricacies of the system that you don't always see when people say, oh, we want this done, and they say they're going to get it done, but then there's the reality of it.
Yes. Things are always more complicated, right? They're always more complicated, but that doesn't mean that we shouldn't be able to get a lot of things done.
Very good. So if, let's see, how much time we have? Two more minutes there, Beth?
Yep.
Okay, so take me out. Take me out to the end of, let's say, even 1 year from now. So we're coming into the end of 2020. We're coming into a brand new chapter here. It's, it's 2020. There's another decade out ahead of us, actually. And so what does the town look like to you at the end of 2020?
Yeah, okay.
You and Sandy have been in your positions as first selectman and selectman, or what Sandy's position would be called?
Selectman.
Right. So what is going on in town?
So what time of year are we in?
Let's go into December. We're at the end of the year in 2020. Put you on the spot there, Jill.
So I had the great opportunity to go to experience Greenwich this past weekend, where I have to be quick about this. There were tons of kids out in Halloween costumes. All right, so it's not December, so I'm going to move forward to December. We're having a holiday celebration in town, and the retailers are engaged in it, the community is engaged in it, the family's engaged in it. We do have a lot of holiday activities historically in town, but the town has really come together. Wrap up fast. We've had an environmental plan that's been proposed and hopefully been adopted. We have an economic development plan that's will start its first full year. And we'll have an enthusiasm and a sense of real positive feeling about our community.
Thank you and good night.
Thank you and good night. That was Jill Oberlander. Take care.
You're listening to the station you grew up with. 1490 WGCH, Greenwich.
Howling wildfire, terror revelation. I'm Barbara Cusack. An army of firefighters are braving hurricane-force winds as they try to get a handle on the Easy Fire that exploded earlier today in California's Simi Valley.